we had our whole comedian contingency, and we were able to, in these moments where it's the height of, you know, the shit hitting the fan, and if we could insert humor in there, we would try it. And it didn't always make it in, but that's a testament also to the director.
That's comedian and actress Mary Lynn Ricegub talking about how she and some of the other actors brought comedy to the roles in the action-adventure blockbuster summer movie, The Tomorrow War, starring Chris Pratt. Really great conversation with her coming up in a minute. Before we get to that, yesterday I bought basically, the best way to describe it is a raincoat for my propane gas tank for my gas grill. Yeah, Weber sells anything you can imagine. The little big parts, this, that, and the other for gas grills. And it's basically a raincoat for a propane tank. And I bought it. And so I got to really get out of the house now and start doing a lot more things. I'm way too domesticated. I don't know. I'm scaring myself. I have a video of it on my Instagram account. So you can check it out at Paul Mercurio. All right. Enjoy Mary Lynn Ricegub, everybody. My guest this week, a very, very funny comedian. We kind of figured out we know each other a little bit, we think, and a great actress also. You've seen her in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, was a regular cast member on HBO's Mr. Show, which is such an awesome, awesome show. And also know her from films like Dude, Where's My Car? And Little Miss Sunshine, and currently is starring in The Tomorrow War, which is currently out. Great to have you on, Mary Lynn Ricegub. How's everything? How are you doing?
Great to be here. You know what? Just doing all the things. I'm getting back into stand-up, doing live shows. Everything's good. I have some comforting pets that have gotten me through the pandemic.
Yeah,
I can't complain.
Yeah. You have a couple of dogs? What do you have? Cats?
I have a cat that I got in the divorce.
Oh.
That was my ex's cat, that he was very focused, because it's a special cat. It's an exotic cat that's not even legal in all states. Hmm. But I got the cat in the divorce somehow. I love the cat. I love him very much. But I was not the cat person. And then the dog is a rescue dog that somehow we got him just in time for the pandemic.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, we got a rescue dog. This is our second one. We got it from a place called Bidawee in New York. And it was so weird because we found this dog, Daisy, she was in a crate in this rescue center next to the crate that we got our first dog, Rusty. And my wife is convinced that, like, Rusty was like looking down on us and directed us to this dog and everything. So it's pretty.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That is the best.
Yeah, it's really cool. And then a typical New York, like we got in a fight with other people over this dog, because we went to see the dog. My son looked at it, saw it online. We think, oh, this is a cute dog. Let's go look at this dog. So we go look at the dog. And, you know, there's like this dog and one other dog that we saw online. So we got there like, I don't know, 10 minutes before this other couple, and we weren't thinking of anything. And so we look at the dog, which is Daisy. And then we're like, we're pretty sure we want Daisy, but we just want to look at the other dog. And then the person comes back, goes, we have a controversy. We go, what? He goes, well, the other people who came in after you, they think they want Daisy. So we're not sure what to do. But if you go look at the other dog, then you can't have Daisy. And we're like, are you kidding us? This is ridiculous.
No.
Yeah, yeah. Like, they said, well, let me go talk to the director. So they went to talk to, like, the director of the whole, like, thing. And they go, okay, we'll make an exception. We'll give you 5 minutes with the second dog. And after 5 minutes, if you don't come back, then you lose Daisy to the – this is, like, insanity, right? So, end of story, we decide to pick Daisy. I go to put more money in the meter for the car. My wife and my son are there in the waiting area to do paperwork. And the other couple with the mother of the other couple comes up to my wife and goes, you know, we really wanted that dog. You don't really want that dog. You wanted the other dog. And, like, gets in my wife's face and starts arguing with us about this dog. It was the worst experience. Ugh, it was terrible. Oh, my God.
Wait, what? This should not even be happening.
Exactly.
There should be some sort of a system this is what you guys do. You're the rescue. Why are you letting two people look at this dog at the same time anyway?
Yeah, well, you hit it on the head, because the person behind the desk saw this sort of, you know, kind of aggression and what said to the person, look, you're being inappropriate. We decide who gets the dog. You're definitely not getting the dog. They're getting the dog, meaning us. And it was just a really weird, like, kind of, just so bizarre. Yeah. Anyway,
thank God for that person that was able to articulate that.
Because yes.
It sounds like the other people you were dealing with were like, oh, well, let's check. And someone else wants it. Like, you need that person to go, no, this is how it's going down.
Exactly.
This is what's not going to happen. And here's what's going to happen.
Exactly. Exactly. So we got out of there with the dog, and everything's been great. And I know you mean about being home with the pet is great. Although I do feel like my dog was looking at me half the time, like in the beginning of the thing was like, because I can be kind of annoying at home, and like the dog was looking at me like, oh, it's cool, you're here all the time. And then like after like a couple of weeks of two straight weeks of me around, as opposed to, you know, being like a comic and being on the road, dog's looking at me like, are you still here? Because you're really annoying. Can you just go away now? Like,
I need some alone dog time. Okay?
Right.
Need to do my dog stuff without you, if you could.
Exactly.
Go.
Exactly. So let's talk about your movie that's out. I don't want to take up all your time with my craziness. So this is a really cool movie with a really interesting premise set in the future. And maybe tell folks a little bit about it who haven't seen it yet, and let them know what's going on and all that.
This is a big movie. This movie is a big summer blockbuster. Mm-hmm. I will tell you my character, and it'll sort of explain the whole premise. I'm a regular person that gets recruited to go into the future and fight aliens, because there's this impossible war that's happening in the future, and aliens are multiplying, and they're fast, and they're big, and they're mean, and the scientists and the military they're trying to figure out how to save the human race. And it's starring Chris Pratt. And it really has a little bit of something for everyone. And I say that I am delighted to say that there's enough emotional stuff and story that you can hook into that, you know, you actually are invested in the story along with awesome action. So that was a lot of fun. I got to do a lot of stuff that I never got to do before, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, watching what I've seen of it, it's like, this is like you said, it's a huge movie, and you know, you bring some levity to it, which is nice. But what I like about it too is that this is like, it's not, and nothing against the superhero movies, but like, this is real people in extraordinary circumstances, you know, so it's very relatable. And just the whole training that you guys have to go through, there's just some really organically funny moments that aren't forced, you know, and there's not a lot of cheeseball-y lines in it either. Like, it feels very relatable, but on the same level, it does take you to another place at the same time.
I love the way you just said that. I'm going to steal that. Normal people in extraordinary circumstances. And I think it's really smart in that way, because it's sort of, it's an homage to these types of movies. And the director and everybody involved went to great lengths to sort of not insult the audience's intelligence, you know, and to give enough of a spin, and worked hard, like you said, to give a different, like, why should I care about this type of movie again? And it's like, oh, because, you know, like, I'm part of the contingency where these like middle-aged regular people are forced to deal with this. And you know, even the Chris Pratt, the hero storyline, it really is about him getting back to his family. And there's a part that I won't spoil with his daughter that goes throughout the movie. And because of the time travel and the nature of it, of who he is and who she grows up to be, you know, it's another tether to the humanity of it that carries throughout the movie.
Yeah. You describe your character as ready, but very reluctant. And You have some really great lines, and one of them is you ask something about other pictures of these things or something, and you say, next time someone asks you that, you should lie.
Yeah, I love that clip because it's like total attitude.
Yes.
In the face of like fear. It's yeah. just like, oh, okay, that's my go-to. It's like complete sarcasm in the face of death.
Well, what I like about the character is you're like annoyed. You just kind of reminded me of me. Like, you know, the world is about to end and there's this massive daunting task you have. And you're like, really? Like, you don't have any more sweet and low? You're Starbucks. Like, it was that kind of vibe that you were giving off. Like, how does this happen that you don't have one picture? Like, everybody else is just, like, completely panicked around you and you're just super annoyed. Do they give you some latitude? Because you're so good dramatically and have won awards for your work and everything. Do they give you, but you do bring... You know, I act also, and not at the level that you've acted, but sort of one of the things that my acting coach has always said is don't lose who you are, you know, where there's opportunities to bring your sort of little bit of humor in, bring it in. Do they let you bring something? Do they let you sort of tweak some lines? Do they let you sort of form the character a little bit once you get the role at all?
Yes, absolutely. And I think that was why I was hired, and there were very interesting casting because there's a contingent of us that are comedians. And then there's the more, they pick people like Sam Richardson, actor Mike Mitchell. He's like an improv guy. We had our whole comedian contingency and we were able to, in these moments where it's the height of, you know, the shit hitting the fan. And if we could insert humor in there, we would try it. Mm. And it didn't always make it in, but that's a testament also to the director. You know, like he had me improvise. There's this one tiny moment coming to the edge of a building and looking around the corner and the wreckage that I see. But through my lens, we tried it in a different way. And it sort of has that same attitude of what that you were describing of like, there's no sweet low, you know, and I'm just standing here staring at the wreckage.
Right.
And he's got to gauge if he can, how much he can allow in that moment without wrecking the reality, but with also trying to insert these silly moments. And there's a lot of gems like that in the movie. So.
Well, the silly moments have a lot of power, I think, not because I'm biased, because I'm a comedian, but because as a viewer, I think you kind of go, yeah, that's kind of believable. I mean, different people, not everybody just has acts in horror and fear and situations. Some people deal with it through humor, regular people. And so I do think it makes the whole experience more relatable when you've got this creature from another planet and you're like, ah, shit, this asshole again. Like there's a little bit of that as opposed to it's always one note of like, oh, my God, you know, like or. You know, sort of no emotion and no sign of fear and just bravado in the face of it doesn't feel realistic to me. So that kind of vibe that comes off.
Such a great point, because as you're talking, I'm thinking, you know, the bulk of humans are most likely in some sort of denial. Mm-hmm. You know, it's probably not the norm that someone would react with bravado or I'll do this. You know, it's like most people are going to have some adverse, if not inappropriate or something where they're acting out of just denial reaction. That's so true.
Yeah. Yeah.
People aren't going to be, you know, The Rock or Sylvester Stallone when they react to stuff.
Right, exactly. Did you have to do a lot of that sort of green screen work, which I know can be hard because you're sort of acting to, you know.
Maybe. Yes and no. It was a really cool combo because there was a lot of us down on the actual street in Atlanta that had been demolished and set dressed. You know, I think there was a boat in the middle of the street tipped over mm-hmm. because these aliens have just torn through, and bodies and fire and smoke. So there was a lot atmospherically to work off of. That's another thing I like about the movie. It's a cool combo of live stuff and CGI. And the director, he directed Lego Batman. So he, yeah, that combo of the live and the CGI is kind of cool. But yeah, there were a lot of times where it's like looking at the end of the street and there's nothing there and you're imagining an alien.
Yeah, it's not easy to do. I mean, because it's so different when you can feed off of somebody or something. And then you got to shoot a gun, which had to be fun and cool and do all of that kind of, you know, that.
We really shot guns. Like we shot, I mean, they were blanks, but that's another thing about the director. He was like a kid when he was making this. He's like, yeah, oh yeah, everyone's shooting on this. And there were like a group of, you know, 12 or 15 of us just running and shooting. And it's like, well, you better get your blocking right while you're all, you know.
Mm.
And you would have to look out for people and again make sure we're hiding behind a car shooting guns. It was so fun and crazy.
Yeah. Are you still painting? I know you graduated as a painter and you love art, and is that an outlet for you? Do you still pursue that at all? Does that still part of your life?
Oh my gosh, look at you asking about the painting. It's in the back of my mind. I haven't done it in quite a few years.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm very lucky in that my creative outlets are my work. And so I've got to approach painting in a way where I can relax while I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Because I went to art school for it, in the past, I've gone to it as another set of creative problems that bring angst. But I'm getting a lot better at that, especially at this point in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I think if I could approach painting in a relaxing way instead of, you know, another thing that I'm creating, which I already do with my.
So it almost, you mean, so it almost feels like it almost feels like a job to you in a way, or like you've got to do it, you put pressure on yourself that it has to be really good?
Yeah. Some kind of pressure. So if it's going to be a pressure, I don't have room for it because my plate is already full of
yeah,
creative pressures. But I think there's a way, like I have thought about it a lot. You know, I used to put on music and paint, and I do miss that. So mm-hmm. Maybe next time I talk to you, I'll be showing you my paintings.
Absolutely. Well, listen, this has been great. I'm glad you've been able to spend time with your cat and your dog and bond with them during COVID. And I know you're out doing stand up again. You mentioned, right? You're starting to get out there and do some of that again as well, right?
Oh, yeah. I also filmed a special in my garage live from the pandemic that you can get on Vimeo. See how
right.
I did put a last minute plug? I almost forgot about that. But yeah, live shows are the best.
Yeah. Check out Live from the Pandemic. The Tomorrow War is out. And we get to see you shoot guns and be funny and real in these crazy moments. It's really been great to have you on and catch up again, and we'll do this again soon, I hope. So Mary Lynn Ryskup, great to have you on. Really love your work, and hope to see you out there.
Thank you.
Stand-up.
Talk to you soon.
There you go. That's Mary Lynn. Great film, and she's a terrific stand-up as well. Hope you guys enjoyed the conversation. Go get a little raincoat for your propane gas grill. And by the way, I'm always posting stuff on YouTube, youtube.com/PaulMercurio. So check that out. And please tell folks about the podcast. Spread the word. Thanks, everybody. See you next week.